Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs to begin with, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Verses 1 through 27, all of Proverbs chapter 4. Then looking in the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And then Ephesians 6, picking up at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you, Father, once again for the privilege of knowing you and being your children in the family of God. Thank you for saving us and drawing us off the road to an eternal hell, onto the road to eternal life. Thank you for the wonderful gift of eternal life. And Lord, thank you for being our good and great Heavenly Father. Thank you for how that you love us with an everlasting love, and you saved us, made us brand new, brought us into your family, and you've commissioned us to go forward to be vessels through which you can accomplish your work to help draw many others off the road to hell, on the road to eternal life. Lord, set us on fire fresh with the fire of your Holy Spirit. Help us to burn with a passion to be about your work faithfully everywhere we go, in our marriages, in our homes, in our families, and empower us to be the godly fathers and mothers and believers that you've called us to be. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for your scriptures, for your word, and for your gift of wisdom. Father, I ask for the presence of your Holy Spirit to help us with understanding, to help us with growing in maturity, to help us with realizing who you are calling us to be even now. Father, thank you so much for the new identities that we have to look for. And thank you so much that we get to see some of your kingdom present where we are on this earth. Father, we just pray that from the Lord's Prayer now, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So thank you so much for these moments, Father. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We continue to remind you that our Ten Commandments Project is an ongoing discipleship project for young people and youth, and in particular during the month of June, specifically from June 1st through the 30th, the Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge is going on for this year. We're inviting each young person from ages 7 to 17 that would like to participate to write a speech or have one help them write a speech on the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." We suggest it to be 3 to 5 minutes or so, but any length is acceptable. And you can use your cell phone or any other means to record the speech as your son or daughter or as the young person you're working with shares that speech, and you can email it to us at either one of these emails, faq@afa.net or jparker@afa.net, with the subject line being Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge 2025. So again, we've already begun to get some wonderful speeches, outstanding speeches. Of course, all of them are wonderful and outstanding. We look forward to getting many, many more during this time period. So we hope that you will encourage your children, grandchildren, or young people that you know to get involved. It's a powerful and a very rewarding but a very fun discipleship project. Again, we're hoping you will choose to get involved. Today we're looking at the topic on the broadcast here. It's the topic, A Christian Man, A Christian Father. Again, A Christian Man, A Christian Father. And I'll be sharing some articles that we've written on the AFA stand that deal with these topics. But we'd encourage you, as usual, please email us to get copies of any or all the articles that we may share. And as we begin with, I want to invite you to be mindful of this. We encourage every believer to pray Psalm 91 every single day. And specifically, I'm going to take time now to share an article that we want to use to encourage every father listening, but every other believer as well. Make it your goal to pray this daily over yourself and your whole family, because we live in a dangerous, crazy world. But in this dangerous, crazy world, no one can protect you like the Lord can. The title of this article is Psalm 91, Protection Amid the Storm. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. And just before I go further in the article, let me remind you this too. One of the reasons why it's so wise for every father listening to pray Psalm 91 over your family is because, as I mentioned, the world is a dangerous place. But you know what? No one can protect you and your family like the Lord can. And it's such a wise and fruitful thing to pray it, because by the grace of God, it releases the Spirit of God and the angels of God to go to work on our behalf, protecting us as well as blessing our physical health as well. So again, continuing with the article entitled Psalm 91, Protection Amid the Storm. In a perilous world filled with diseases such as the flu and the coronavirus, many are fearful. Inner cities and many other communities are simply dangerous places to be, with drug and human trafficking, muggings, murders, physical and sexual abuse, etc. Where can people go to find safety in this world? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." In a world where people have been shot in workplaces, schools, churches, and stadiums, we wonder if we can be safe and secure anywhere. Is there any way to be protected from the dangers and perils we see all around us? Well, actually, God in His Word did provide us with a powerful weapon for divine protection. This weapon is found in His Word in the book of Psalms, specifically Psalm 91. If believers will choose to pray Psalm 91 daily and speak its promises every day, the Lord can protect us mightily. Are you aware that there is a place in God, a secret place, for believers who desire and believe Him for divine protection? It's a place of protection and physical safety that God teaches us about based on Psalm 91. There you find a collection of protection promises that form a powerful weapon of security and defense that only God can provide. We would be wise to confess those promises over our lives and our families daily and or to pray them daily as well. The following is one way to pray a prayer based on the wisdom and power of Psalm 91. Thank you, Lord, for all the believers and persons we prayed for today, and thank you for all those that are part of our listening family even now. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, "You are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in You do we trust. Surely You deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with Your feathers, and under Your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For You give Your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon You, therefore You deliver us. You set us on high because we have known Your name. We call upon You and You answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life You satisfy us and show us Your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen." Again, the title of that article was Psalm 91, Protection Amid the Storm. The article, and it has the prayer within it. So please feel free to email us to get a copy of the article with the Psalm 91 prayer within it as well. Thank You, Lord, again for us as the church. Thank You for us as a nation. Lord, help us as the church and as a nation to put You first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take Your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet, in Jesus' name. And Lord, thank You for each of our prayer lives, and thank You for the opportunity for us to seek You in prayer every single day. Father, anoint each and every one of our prayer lives with a fresh anointing. Set our prayer lives on fire, fresh of Your Holy Spirit, and empower us to be the praying church and people You've called us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic, A Christian Man, A Christian Father. We'll be right back.
Sometimes the night was beautiful. Sometimes the sky was so far away. Sometimes it seemed to stoop so close. You could touch it, but your heart would break. Sometimes the morning came too soon. Sometimes the day could be so hot. There was so much work left to do, but so much you'd already done. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. And I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Sometimes I think of Abraham, how one star he saw had been lit for me. He was a stranger in this land.
Music of Rich Mullins with Sometimes by Step. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, A Christian Man, A Christian Father. And we are sharing some articles that we wrote on the AFA stand, found on the AFA stand. Again, the title of the article we shared a few moments ago was Psalm 91, Protection Amid the Storm. And this next article is entitled, Biblical Images of Manhood. Again, Biblical Images of Manhood. In the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, there are many truths, insights, and stories that help paint a clear picture, a portrait of sorts, of what a man is. They specifically paint a picture of what a godly man is. Now, I should say very quickly, there's only one man in all of the Word of God that perfectly paints such a picture for us. That man is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone stands as our only perfect role model. He's the only man who lived a perfect life without sin in all of Scripture. There are, though, other individual characteristics that we find in some of the other men of the Bible that are definitely characteristics to be desired. A number of these traits could be appreciated by any and all men. In looking at the lives of many characters in the Bible, we learn important attributes and characteristics that we as men of God should seek to attain or receive into our lives as well. Also, in this day and time, there's a tremendous need in the world for a clear understanding of what a real man, a godly man, is. And there's an outstanding need to paint a picture, a portrait of what a godly man looks like based on the wisdom of God's powerful and precious Word. What are some biblical characteristics and some biblical standards that help us to see and define what a godly man looks like? Well, here are a few. He has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. See John 3:16 and Romans 10:9. And he seeks to be a man like David after God's own heart. See Psalm 23. Also, he seeks to read the Word of God daily for himself. See Psalm 1 and Psalm 119, verse 105. Also, he spends time in prayer on a daily basis. See Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and Philippians 4, 6, and 7, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. In addition to that, he seeks to have time daily to bring his family together to read the Word of God, teach from the Word, and pray together. See Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9, and Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. Next, he takes and/or makes time to train and instruct his children, teaching them about God, the Word of God, and teaching them wisdom for all areas of life. See Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9, Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 9, Proverbs 3, 1 to 2, and Proverbs 4, verses 1 to 6. Next, he seeks to lead and take his family to church regularly, such as to worship service on Sundays and Bible study on Wednesdays. See Joshua 24, verse 15, and Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 25. Next, he has a sense of mission on his life. He seeks with passion to fulfill the specific call of God or calls of God on his life, whatever those callings may be. See Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, Colossians 3, verses 1 to 3. Next, he works hard to provide for his family. See 1 Timothy 5:8. And keep in mind, God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife. Genesis chapter 2. Next, he is a protector for his family. See Matthew chapters 1 and 2. Also, he lives the life of a good role model for his family and others. See Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Also, he has the wisdom and the courage to take responsibility and to deal with problems head on. He takes responsibility and doesn't run from problems, but deals with them. See 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. A man, a godly man, has a love for God with the maturity and authority about him that sets him apart from the rest of the males in the world. A real man is seeking God and seeking to fulfill God's purposes for his life. A real man has his perspectives that are biblical and honorable. A real man is someone who understands that women and girls are special and precious, and they are to be honored and protected by men. Real men understand that women are not objects to conquer or persons to be disrespected and used. A real man respects and honors women and girls. A real man does not take advantage of women. He respects women and will not be involved with a woman sexually unless he has won her heart and has put a ring on her finger in marriage first. Boys ask questions while real men give answers. Boys play house while men build homes. Boys shack up while real men get married. Boys make babies while men raise children. A boy won't raise his own children. A man will raise his and someone else's when the need arises. Boys make excuses for failure while real men produce ways and strategies to succeed. Boys look for someone to take care of them while men look for someone to take care of. Boys drop out of school saying that school is a waste of their time. Real men recognize the importance of and value of education and training and preparation. They desire to be educated and or to gain a skill or skills in order to reach their full potential in life. The world in which we live is in tremendous need of faithful, godly men. Pray that God will raise up many of them who understand the important place and call of God upon them to be men after God's own heart in their home and in society and culture as well. Again, the title of that article, Biblical Images of Manhood. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at that same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. Again, today we're looking at the topic, A Christian Man, A Christian Father. And so we're sharing insights to encourage boys and young men that will one day grow up to be men, and men that, Lord willing, one day, many of which will become fathers, husbands and fathers as well. And so we want to minister and encourage them as godly men and then as husbands and as fathers as well. The next article is entitled Praying Daily for Your Spouse. And of course, we're just going to share one of the two prayers. One of them is a prayer that a husband will pray, can pray for his wife. And then there's the prayer that the wife can pray for her husband. So we're going to take time, of course, to pray the prayer for the wife at this time. Father, thank you, Lord, for my wife, Birdie. And thank you for the gift she is to me, to our family, and to the church, and to the kingdom of God. Lord, bless my wife today indeed. Expand her territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon her. Keep her from evil that she may not cause pain in Jesus' name. Help me this day to be the full blessing to her that you would have me to be in Jesus' name. Dear Father, fill her day with joy, peace, grace, and encouragement. Help her to walk in your love, your joy, and your peace today. Help her to spend the time in your word and in prayer that you want her to spend today in Jesus' name. Help Birdie this day to put you first. Help her to make no graven images. Help her to not take your name in vain. Help her to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help her to honor her father and her mother. Help her to value life. Help her to not steal. Help her to not commit adultery. Help her to tell the truth. Help her to not covet. In Jesus' name, empower her this day to fulfill all the call of God upon her life. Help her to live today as the living sacrifice you want her to be and to fulfill your will. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer, and thank you for the gift Birdie is to me and to you and to the kingdom of God. Dear Lord, bless her and keep her today. Make your face shine brightly upon her. Be gracious to her. Lift up the light of your countenance upon her and give her your peace. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, the title of this article, of course, is Praying Daily for Your Spouse. And I just prayed the prayer that, of course, a husband would pray for his wife. And the next prayer listed is, of course, the prayer the wife would pray for her husband. So we'll be glad to share that with you. Simply email us. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. The next article we want to share is entitled, Marriage, God's Way is Always the Best Way. Again, marriage, God's way is always the best way. Uh-oh, not again. As the pastor of Leonard Chapel, I had serious concern over something I had seen in the church directory. The names of two members, let's call them Mr. Brown and Miss Rice, were in different places in the directory, but under each was the same address. A mistake, perhaps? Or I thought, hopefully, maybe a coincidence with some innocent explanation. But, alas, this was not the case. Soon I learned a truth that I really did not want to hear. Mr. Brown and Miss Rice were living together, shacking up as sometimes it's referred to, functioning as husband and wife, but had never chosen to get married. They'd lived together for many years and had a number of children together. Still, for whatever reason, they had never chosen to marry. I knew this was not a matter to rush into headlong. It needed to be addressed prayerfully and carefully with the clear wisdom and counsel of the Holy Spirit. And quite honestly, I found myself dragging my feet about dealing with it at all. Ms. Rice was attending faithfully and was very attentive in church. And Mr. Brown came as well, although not nearly as regularly as Miss Rice. It appeared that, at least on the surface level, they were truly seeking God and His righteousness more or less. Why shake things up? But over time, the Holy Spirit kept nudging me to speak to the couple about their cohabitation. My reluctance to act on that nudge stemmed in part from an incident a few years earlier. That had happened several years earlier when I was serving a different congregation in another community and a similar situation came to light. In that case, two people in key positions of leadership in the church were living together unmarried, and I felt led to lovingly and graciously confront them and invite them to do things God's way. So carefully, biblically, and with love, I approached them and tried to communicate that as believers, it's important for us to do things God's way. Well, without going into great detail, let me say that my attempt at biblical diplomacy basically blew up in my face. The two individuals were highly offended, and with significant support from other members in the church, they took action. And to be quite honest, in a very short period of time after that, I was no longer the pastor of that church, and that was that. Now, facing a similar case, part of me felt I had good reason not to touch that situation with a 10-foot pole. Still, the Holy Spirit was definitely directing me otherwise. One day, a few months later, the Lord arranged a chance for me to speak with Ms. Rice. I had hoped to meet with the couple together, but that scenario didn't work out immediately. Instead, my wife and I had an opportunity to sit and quietly talk with Miss Rice alone. Now, allow me to be clear on this point. People are too precious to be handled roughly or abrasively, even when we're giving them the truth from the Word of God. God's Word directs us to speak the truth in love. So the three of us spoke together calmly and earnestly. And when it came to lovingly confronting Miss Rice, basically what I said was, Sister Rice, you come to church regularly and faithfully. You're very attentive, and you seem to have a genuine love for the Lord and the things of God. Yet I want to graciously bring this issue before you to consider. Why not do things God's way and choose to go ahead and get married? To be honest, I didn't know what reaction to expect, whether offense, anger, or something else. Initially, Miss Rice sat graciously and quietly, saying nothing. She seemed to be thinking deeply about my words, and it was as though I could see her heart in her eyes, which were shining with tears forming there. The first thing she said was, "How did you know?" After I explained briefly about the quote-unquote coincidence of their addresses in the directory, we began to talk further. Afterward, an ongoing three-way conversation developed between Ms. Rice, my wife, and me, during which I learned that Ms. Rice and Mr. Brown had lived together for more than 20 years, raising their children together and functioning as a family. "I wanted to marry, but we just never did," Ms. Rice confessed. "But now," she added, "I really think I want to do this. I want to make this step." We'll pick up, with the article on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, A Christian Man, A Christian Father. We'll be right back. Music of Brian and Katie Torwald with When You Walk Into the Room. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic here on the Hour of Intercession, the topic of A Christian Man, A Christian Father. And when we came into the break, we were sharing from an article entitled Marriage, God's Way is Always the Best Way, picking up in that article close to where we left off. The first thing Ms. Rice said was, "How did you know?" After I explained briefly about the quote-unquote coincidence of their addresses in the directory, we began to talk further. Afterward, an ongoing three-way conversation developed between Ms. Rice, my wife, and me, during which I learned that Ms. Rice and Mr. Brown had lived together for more than 20 years, raising their children together and functioning as a family. "I wanted to marry, but we just never did," Ms. Rice confessed. "But now," she said, "I really think I want to do this, to make this important step." It was decided that my wife and I would talk to Mr. Brown about this matter soon, first alone, then with him and Ms. Rice together. When the four of us met together, Mr. Brown, too, seemed open to getting married at last. I reminded the couple that it was their decision to make together, but urged them that it would be wise to take the step and to make it fairly soon, possibly within the next month or two. I felt certain that postponing the decision indefinitely or deciding but relegating the act itself to a vague sometime in the future would neither be helpful nor fruitful. The two of them decided that, yes, they would marry, and they selected a date, opting for a relatively short, quote-unquote, engagement. The two seemed surprisingly excited, especially Miss Rice. Her demeanor seemed to me more like that of a 20-year-old virgin bride-to-be than that of an unmarried matron who had already shared a home with the father of her children for more than 2 decades. The date arrived, and the wedding was beautiful. Their 3 daughters were in the wedding party, and as I watched their proud procession, I could not help thinking what a positive message and life lesson this was to the 3 children from their parents. A number of other relatives were either in the wedding or present to witness the momentous occasion. One of Ms. Rice's sisters said that she had been praying for that day for years. Of course, I personally felt privileged not only to witness the wedding, but also to perform the wedding ceremony for them. I remember distinctly during those precious moments of the solemnization, seeing the tears of joy streaming down Ms. Rice's face. I believe those were tears that flowed from a heart that was seeing a long-awaited dream finally fulfilled. Praise God. Besides making a public affirmation of their lifelong commitment to one another, those unconventional newlyweds also sent a very powerful message out that day, not only to their family, but to the entire community, that marriage, as God ordained it, is more than a domestic arrangement, more than a quote-unquote civil union, and far more than something 2 people just decide to do or not do, depending on their emotional attachment or personal convenience. Marriage, done according to the word and will of God, is a blessed and honorable estate. It's an act of community and of communion designed to reflect the mystery of God's divine love for his people, even as it establishes a family within his kingdom. And although some might argue that the ceremony was superfluous, no one looking upon the radiant face of the bride that day would have needed to ask whether, even after more than 20 years, marriage really matters. It does, because God meant for it to matter. As tough as that confrontation was, by the grace of God, I will never regret having spoken to the couple, now known as Mr. and Mrs. Brown. We in the church must not only be willing, but should be prepared to lovingly be aggressive to share God's word with others, his truth, and we must aggressively encourage others to live by its wisdom. The word reveals to us the heart of a God who always wants the best for his children, which is why God's way and God's word is always the best way to do any and everything. Again, the title of that article, Marriage, God's Way is Always the Best Way. And then this one additional article we'd like to share is entitled Portrait of a Faithful Christian Father. Again, Portrait of a Faithful Christian Father. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Again, Proverbs 4, 1 to 7. Then Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Again, Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. The Bible gives us quite a number of examples of fathers who faithfully knew and served the Lord. These include fathers who were good role models for young men who aspire to be godly men and fathers. Some of those persons include Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and the list could go on and on. Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, and Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, can be included in this number as well. Now, the only perfect father in the Bible is our Heavenly Father. All but him had flaws, and God, in his word, time and time again, did not choose to hide some of those flaws. Yet despite this, there were significant characteristics that these fathers had that all of the fathers can learn from. As a Christian father reads and meditates on the Word of God, he can learn from and grow in his faith as he reads and observes how these fathers loved and served God. And he can also learn about mistakes to avoid as he reads about some of the mistakes these same fathers made that are recorded in Scripture. The following are some of the characteristics that a faithful Christian father would be wise to seek to live by. Number one, he's received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. See John 3:16 and Romans 10:9. And he seeks to be a man like David after God's own heart. See Psalm 23. Number two, he seeks to read the Word of God daily. See Psalm 1 and Psalm 119, verse 105. Reading three chapters in the Word of God a day is a good goal for any man or any individual to pursue. Number three, he spends time in prayer daily. See Mark 1:35, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, Daniel 6:10. Number four, he seeks to bring the family together to read the Word of God, teach from the Word, and pray together. See Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9, and Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. Number five, he takes and or makes time to teach, train, discipline, and instruct his children, teaching them about God and teaching them wisdom for all areas of life. See Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 9, Proverbs 2, 1 to 9, Proverbs 3, 1 to 2, and Proverbs 4, 1 to 6. Number 6, he seeks to take his family to church regularly, such as to worship service on Sundays and Bible study on Wednesdays. See Joshua 24, verse 15, and Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And number 7, he lives life with a mission mindset. He seeks with passion to fulfill the specific call and callings of God on his life, whatever those callings may be. See Romans 12, 1 to 2, and Colossians 3, 1 to 3. Number 8, he works hard to provide for his family and seeks to be a good role model to his children and others as he works and takes care of his responsibilities. See 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, and Genesis chapter 2. Remember, God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife. Number 9, he is a protector of his family. See Matthew chapters 1 and 2. Number 10, he is a good role model for his family and others in all areas of life. See Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Number 11, he has the wisdom and the courage to take responsibility and to deal with problems head on. He takes responsibility and does not run from it. See 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. These are just a few characteristics that a Christian father would be wise to seek to live up to. Any dad who has these characteristics is clearly a blessing to the world we live in, and he's a blessing to his family. And that makes this kind of dad a part of the solutions to the world's problems. Again, the title of that article, A Portrait of a Faithful Christian Father. Again, Portrait of a Faithful Christian Father. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us, again, a copy of this article and or any of the other articles that we shared as well. Again, we shared the article, Marriage, God's Way is Always the Best Way, and then the article on Psalm 91, and the article, Biblical Images of Manhood, and the article, Praying Daily for Your Spouse. If you'd like to get a copy of one or all of the articles, simply email us. Simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, joseph@afr.net. One of the goals behind sharing these articles is to put into your hands biblical discipleship tools that will help to strengthen you in your walk with God, but also tools you can help to use and share to minister to your wife and or your spouse and or your family as well. So we're glad to share them with you. Once again, my email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to share any and all of those with you. Father, thank you again for every man and every father listening. Father, Thank you for your hand of grace upon them. Thank you for every listener. Father, bless each and every one of us indeed. Expand each of our territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon us. Keep us from evil that we may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening and you know you've never given your life to Jesus Christ and committed your heart and life to Christ, today is a good day, a great day to be saved and commit your life to Christ. If you want to make that step, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long, long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. We've not loved you or loved others in so many ways. We confess these to you, Father, by faith. We repent of those things. Forgive us, Lord, for the wrong things we've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey your word daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. We'd like to connect with you. Keep in mind, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please do get in touch again, joseph@afr.net. Again, same email if you'd like to get copies of any or all of the articles that we shared today or any of the days that we share articles on the broadcast. We're glad to get any and all of them to us. Simply to you, please email us and let us know which title or titles you'd like to receive. We'll be glad to get them to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.